talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show, or The Dawn of the Resistance, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm here with my guest co-host today, Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, and Navy veteran. Just wanted to follow up. Kevin texted us back, Tom, and he said, I voted twice for Obama, and I take great offense to both of your responses. Not taking blame as a party for losing and instead blaming racism as the fault is one of the many reasons I and others are rapidly leaving the closed-minded arms of the once great Democrat Party. Kevin, please Google the term white fragility. I absolutely believe that you desire not to be a racist, that you do not see yourself as a racist. And yet the resistance to any discussion that asks us to probe these implicit or subconscious biases that we all have, the resistance to the discussion itself is white privilege.
And I'll add one more thing. I will say that if your core values and your policy views lead you to vote for Tammy Baldwin, there is no way that you can vote for Donald Trump. That just doesn't make any sense. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yep. No, Andy from Wausau, no more crying today, but thanks for making fun of us for losing an election. You know, these things happen, and people have reactions to these things. Gloating, I guess, is what's happening on the right side of the spectrum today, and to be expected given the outcome. I did want to just make this quick comparison, Tom, between some language from Hillary Clinton's concession speech in 2016 and Kamala Harris's speech yesterday. Hillary Clinton said in 2016 this: I've had successes and I've had setbacks, sometimes really painful ones. Many of you are at the beginning of your professional public and political career. So you will have setbacks and successes too. This loss hurts, but please never stop believing that fighting for what is right is worth it. And so we need you to keep up these fights now and for the rest of your lives. Here's what Kamala Harris said yesterday. We will never give up the fight for our democracy, for the rule of law, for equal justice, and for the sacred idea that every one of us, no matter who we are or where we start out, has certain fundamental rights and freedoms that must be respected and upheld. We will continue to wage this fight in the voting booth, in the courts, and in the public square. There's some parallels.
And spot on, right? And inspiring. And I will say, though, when I come back and think about, you know, the Democratic messaging that people feel needs to change.
Yes.
And somehow we need to speak differently about what's going on. If some political person has the answer to, you know, be able to create messaging that can turn racism, misogyny, and marginalization of others around, that has nothing to do with politics, that has everything to do with being an empathetic human being.
Yes.
And that's really what we're talking about at the end of the day, is we now know that as a country, we have a majority of people who think about themselves before others. Mm. And that's just a fact that we have to, you know, take a step back and go, okay, if that's where we're at, what are we going to do about it? And I personally think it started with the lack of having to sacrifice in the G.W. Bush administration, when we went to war and we just ran up deficits and no one was asked to change their behavior after 9/11.
Yeah.
And we just, as a country and as a veteran, we just don't ask people to sacrifice. And now people have decided that the thing they're willing to sacrifice is inflation for marginalizing of others.
Well, it's not lower inflation.
Right. Well, you and I both know that, but we don't have time to teach economics and math at the same time. So
it's very difficult.
Yes.
One of our great listeners just sent this. Agree to disagree is for things like I don't like coffee. It's not for racism, homophobia, sexism. It's not for basic common decency. It's not for human rights. It's not the right to be treated It's not for the right to be treated equally regardless of sex, religion, color, creed, sexual orientation. We don't have a difference of opinion. We have a difference of morality. I think a lot of people are feeling like that. But if the messaging around the difference, no one that voted for Trump actually thinks that, while they know completely who he is and what he says and what he stands for. Again, I believe the majority of them were still voting in good faith. And so, again, trying to look at it in completely moralistic terms, as opposed to what is the action step and what are we going to do differently to try to bring us back together around the things that we all say we believe, right? Like,
yes. Right. That's in the Constitution that we agree upon.
Yes.
You know, the other part of this, though, is every time I've seen somebody interview a Trump voter, they inevitably say, I just like the way he speaks to me.
Listen, I had this discussion yesterday with some friends, Tom, and it was about, I have always hated the way that politicians talk. It's like they all take this weird pill and then the stuff comes out and it sounds funny. And it's like, why? You're not really saying what you think, and I can tell. Right. I think everybody hates that, right? It's one of the reasons, frankly, you know, I've thought about running for stuff over the years. And I always went, well, I'm not doing that, because I would get up there and say exactly what I thought without a whole lot of filter, and it would get me into a whole heap of trouble. So I never did it. But it's like, oh, well, maybe that's changing.
But the great thing is when you run, everyone has a right to their opinion, and you have a discussion, and you have an actual conversation about it.
Yes.
But there is not a conversation happening with Republicans and Democrats right now. And it's mostly because Republicans don't want to have a conversation. So the next step is what we have to figure out, I guess, as Democrats, is take a step back and go, okay, where are the inroads we need to make to continue to fight for the basic human needs that people need in this country? Because those are under attack and they're under threat.
Yeah. Folks, again, that's Tom Paulswitz. Kevin's having a conversation with us on the text line. I love it. I'm going to go back to Kevin. He says, I didn't vote for Trump. I left the presidential bubble empty. Thanks for being absolutely presumptive. Just a couple of observations. The first one is, leaving the bubble empty is effectively a vote for Trump. Yes, that's how this works. It's a binary choice. So I believe that your distinction is a distinction without a difference. Secondly, you pointed out that you voted for Obama twice. Well, do we have to talk about the gender thing now, too? I mean, it's like, you may have voted for Obama, and thus your argument is, because I voted for a black person before, I must not be racist.
Right.
Well, he also happened to be a man. And what we also know about this country is that it is deeply sexist. I mean, and it's okay for us. It should be okay. It shouldn't be existentially threatening to want to try to talk about these things,
right? It's okay to talk about. Yes.
Yes.
That is exactly right. It's okay to talk about. But yes, we had that intersection. And somebody said this, and it just really resonated with me, that we had two of the most qualified women running against one of the worst men we could imagine, and that man won twice. And you just look at that and you go, wait a minute, there has to be something else going on here, because it's not about policy.
I mean, Tom, isn't the question like, okay, I will know that we have achieved full equality in the United States of America when I can be a 34-time convicted felon, right? A serial sexual assaulter, a fraudster, a prolific liar, an insulter of everyone every day, and get elected twice to the White House. Like, that will be the achievement of equity.
Just another side note is, as a country, we've accepted women in the Senate, but that's about as far as they go.
Yeah. And that's enough, ladies. We've had quite enough of these nasty women.
Right.
I mean, but for the first time in our nation's history, two black women are going to sit in the Senate at the same time.
Yes.
It took us nearly 200 years for that to happen.
Amazing.
Which is insane. Llama from Madison making us all laugh. Trump is like giving a monkey a typewriter. Sure, you'll get a line or two that makes sense. Thanks, Llama.
I just want to make sure that this isn't really about bashing Trump. This is about just understanding what drives people to want to listen. Even though everything he says has nothing to do with empathy and compassion for others, and still vote for him.
Yes. Let's take some.
That's what we need to unpack.
Yeah. Let's take some calls here. We got Charles. Charles, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say? We'll come back to you, Charles. Dave from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
I think you guys are absolutely right. The whole thing was based on race. It was right-wing populist racism. This was our counterpart to the Nixon Southern strategy, or you call it the Bush Southern strategy, the Bush 1 Southern strategy. You mentioned Dukakis, where they showed, you know, black prisoners going through a turnstile, you know, and it's Dukakis, you know, furloughed Willie Horton, showing, make sure they meant to emphasize the blackness of Willie Horton. And then, yes. And then you had, yeah, he got Dukakis when you had those ads that showed a black guy putting on women's makeup, and they said, Kamala Harris took your tax money and gave money to criminals for sex change operations. It's the same thing that we saw with Atwater, that we saw Nixon Southern strategy, and we see manifestations of that in every single Republican campaign. By the way, Atwater acknowledged it was all based on race just before he died.
Oh, yes, he did, Dave. Yes, thank you for absolutely. Bringing that up. There are tapes of those interviews. You don't believe me? Go ahead, Google Atwater tapes, racism, Atwater, yeah. And Thanks check it out. Gene from Milwaukee pointing out via our text line that there were bomb threats that were specifically targeted at polling places where the majority of people that vote there are black. That was specifically happening from Russia. And apparently a news story coming out, in Raw story, that after the election, racist plantation texts were sent out about executing slaves and returning to a plantation state. We also know an article came out in Wired that a lot of Trump supporters on Trump-aligned platforms were promoting basically gangs of rapists to go around and firing squads. So, like, yes, the rhetoric for many of the supporters is really scary and completely and utterly, totally out of bounds. Kevin from Iguanago also voted for Hillary in 2016. I know my values. This was about non-performance as VP as my decision for a non-vote for Harris. I love the discussion, Kevin. Thank you for being part of the discussion. I will just say this. Donald Trump sucked as a president, period. He lied about COVID. There's no question more Americans died because he was talking about bleach and sunlight and purveying in garbage theories. Like, that was terrible.
He instigated an insurrection.
The guy is the one that signed the withdrawal agreement with the Taliban from Afghanistan. And yes, Biden could have said, nope, we're not. I'm not sticking by it. But he signed the damn agreement and negotiated it. We've got to take a little break. Let's see if we can squeeze.
And I'll just add one more thing. Yeah. I don't even know what non-performance as a vice president even means.
Yeah, like VPs.
They're not in charge of anything.
They have zero power. You literally take bullets for the big guy, literally and figuratively.
You want to talk about performance, go back to her Senate or her attorney general resume.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Andy from Wausau wasn't about gender either, he says. She accomplished nothing as VP. Again, this is like vice presidents are not calling the shots. They literally have no power.
So just to get this straight, just so we're both clear on this, based on our callers, what they're saying is your resume as a failed president is more important than your lack of a resume as a vice president. Yep. So if you didn't accomplish anything as a vice president, it couldn't be because you're a woman, then that is disqualifying. All I can do is shake my head.
Also, Andy from Wausau, stop saying race. She's not even African-American. Andy, she's black. She's black and Indian. Her dad was from Jamaica. Her mom's from Indian. Of course it was about race. It's like D, all of the above. And Democrats sucked at the messaging.
Let's mention the book one more time, Maggie.
Yeah. White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. We're going to wrap this up. We'll be right back on the other side with more of your texts and calls right here on the Maggie Dawn Show.